We have a very special guest, Oscar winner, multiple Emmy winner, actress Cloris Leachman. Hello, Cloris. How are you?
Hello, dear. How are you, everybody in Canada and other parts of the world?
Fine. Thanks for being on the program with us.
Oh, what else can I do?
Can I start off by saying right off the bat, you've been robbed?
I have. Oh, well, there are rules about these things, you know. The rule is the picture has to be over the top, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there needs to be a little more seriosity. Is that a word?
It is now.
Okay. Seriosity, you know, to most of them are serious things.
The role, of course, I'm talking about is the performance you have in the current film Spanglish, which many people were touting that it was Oscar caliber, and I certainly thought it was. I saw the film, and it was a marvelous performance.
Thank you.
And it was also a situation where you were stepping in late in that picture for somebody else.
Yes, it's true. So, and he thought I was too old for the part in the first place, so we're in the second place, one of the places.
You're one of the, it's funny because the actress that you replace, which is Anne Bancroft,
mm-hmm.
I think of the two of you in similar vein, because you're two of the actresses that people can see in very, very broad comedy and in very, very dramatic roles and everything else in between. And while you're watching the role, you're not thinking about, well, that's Cloris Leachman who did that or did this. You're watching.
Well, that's nice. Yeah, we sort of, as they say, inhabit the role.
Exactly.
Oh, isn't it funny, the words people find and then other people use them.
Now, how did you come up with the characterization for the role you played in this current movie that was, I understand, very different from what Anne Bancroft had done while she was in the role?
What did you hear that she did?
I didn't hear what she did. I just heard that what you did from an interview I heard with Tia Leone, that what you did was very different from hers. For instance, I don't think, I mean, your character in the movie drank,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think her character did.
Well, I think she would have to have drunk because it's part of the plot.
Hmm.
I think she had to have. They would have had to rewrite it, and they didn't.
What do you bring to a role when you when you inhabit a role, as you say? What kind
of... First, I like to be as absolutely authentic and real as possible, not representational or naturalistic, that sort of thing. I want to be electrifyingly real, just really a real person there. Because there are other ways of acting that are very effective. For instance, like Bette Davis and Joan Crawford, those where you, part of it is like, to sort of like stand and deliver. Let's say if you have a role like that where that's a colorful, strong role.
Right.
You deliver a line. That's an expression even, how you deliver a line. But that's not what, this is the exact opposite of that. You're really looking for the other stuff around the lines.
Mm-hmm.
The real life stuff that the lines just come out of them or through them. And I had some wonderful lines to say, and you do want to stand and deliver them. But you don't want it to be on a performance level. You want it to be on an absolute reality level.
Right.
The way you really do it with real passion and deep feeling.
Does that work the same way, too, even when you're doing something as broad as a Mel Brooks comedy? Your characterizations in characters like Nurse Dweezil and Diesel Rather and Frau Brücke from... how do you inhabit those roles? Because those are also amazing roles.
Oh, God. You just have to really invest yourself. Really mean it. Really mean it. Not just on a above-the-neck strength and passion, but down in your gizzard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just keep lowering it into your... into your psyche, into your intention, and into your how much you care about something or don't care, whatever it is, just down there where it's really real.
You've also done a lot of characters, you've done a lot of accents as well.
Yeah, but I never had the advantage that Meryl Streep does of having a year to do it. I ran into somebody at the Brentwood Country Mart near where I lived all the years ago when I played the lady in red in Dillinger.
Uh-huh.
And I had to fly out the next morning, and I needed an accent, a Romanian accent or a Hungarian accent. So I happened to go down to the Brentwood Country Mart near where I lived, and there was a man I had known from the Rand Corporation, and he was Hungarian. I said, "Oh my God, you're just what I need. I need an accent." And I told him about this, and he said, "Well, you need a Romanian accent, and I'm Hungarian." He said, "But I know a Romanian woman." And so he gave me her telephone number, and she said, "Why don't you give her a ring?" I went home and called her up. She was in the middle of a dinner party she was giving and had no time. And I said, "Oh, well, just could you just say this line or this line, a few lines?" And I made chicken tracks on top of the words to kind of get the way she said the vowels and different things. And I pulled that through the script then and thanked her very much. And that's my accent, a Romanian accent for the lady in red.
So what you're saying then is that you're also a quick study.
I don't know. I think... are you asking me that? Or you?
Yeah, are you a quick study? I mean...
Does that mean I learn the lines really fast?
Well, not only do you learn the lines really fast, but you pick up on an accent relatively quick.
Oh, yeah. I like to do that. I'd say pretty quick. I do have an ear, and I had... You know, music is really my background. I used to play classical piano all... That was my first love, really.
Uh-huh.
So that's very much part of acting, all the different voicings in music, and how some lower notes come in, and different, and the timings and rhythms and cadences and pauses, all that stuff, and da-dum-bum, all that stuff is part of acting.
Again, when watching the movie Spanglish, and seeing the relationship you have with, I guess it's your granddaughter in the film?
Yes.
I get the impression that must have been like in the Leachman household with your kids, because your character in the film was very artistic, as are you. I would assume with less alcohol, I'm hoping.
You would. Oh. well, in my house,
yeah.
With my children, mm-hmm. I had five children, four boys and a girl. And the two-car garage quickly became a soundproof recording studio. And so there was all that kind of music being recorded in there. Then in the living room, I'd be playing classical piano. My second son was a really fantastic drummer, just wildly good. And he'd put on Tina Turner in the living room there and set up his congas and things and play with that. It's the top of as loud as it can be. So it was so loud, her singing and his playing, and I had spent 3 weeks putting down the right fingering for Rhapsody in Blue. There was an actor strike at the time, and I knew I wouldn't be working for a while, so I thought, I'll just learn that. And it took me 3 weeks to get the right fingering so I could use every one of my fingers to play all the notes. I didn't want to cheat. And I was really practicing that. So I would play just as loudly as I needed to, and I still couldn't be heard over Tina Turner. And then you go down, and there's the soundproof recording studio on the other side of the kitchen. Then you go down the hallway on the other side, and my oldest son would be playing either the guitar or the flute, and he was writing music. And then my little girl, let's see, did I have most of them? My little girl was... practically in her closet, really a closet singer. She was dying to, like Chucky's in Love, that kind of thing.
Right.
And now she's a wonderful lyricist and composer and singer, and she's writing a children's album right now that's just darling. Her name is Dinah,
uh-huh.
England. And my fourth son, wonderful singer and writes and plays the guitar and everything. So all a lot of music in our house, but every person had a different kind of music. You know, we could never be what kind of family is it, the Partridge family, whoever was singing, because everybody would be having another idea of how things would be, I think.
We are talking with actress Cloris Leachman here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. 790-0991 is the number to call. We'll continue with Cloris after a quick break here on CJD.
now, more of Holder Tonight with Peter Anthony Holder on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. To speak to Peter, call 790-0991, Star Talk, or 1-800-491-CJAD.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. We're talking with acting great Cloris Leachman, who is in the current film that is out there still. It's Spanglish. If you haven't had a chance to see it, go and see it. A very, very good movie. You were talking about your children just a few moments ago. One of your sons, Morgan.
Yes.
Did, what, a six-year stint on the Guiding Light playing?
Yes, he was Dylan.
Dylan Lewis.
Right.
Yeah. Very proud to see your children do things like that, especially following in their parents' footsteps?
Well, he now has decided he loves rescue and saving people, and for a long time he'd go up to Big Bear and ski in the rescue ski department there and volunteer that. And then now he's decided he wanted to be a paramedic, so he did that. First you're an EMT, then you're a paramedic, and now he's joined the fire department. He's a firefighter, and as of October this coming year, he will be a paramedic with the fire department. So he's just madly in love with his job, and it's found the right thing for him.
So acting is behind him now?
Yep, and singing. He was a marvelous performer with singing and guitar and stuff. And it's too bad, but he has two little children. He didn't want to have to leave them and go on the road, and I mean, which he would have to have done to promote everything.
Hmm. Now, with all the things that you've done, and it seems to be everyone in your family is just multifaceted and multi-talented. You're talking about yourself playing the piano. What is your passion? What do you get the biggest kick from?
Oh, I guess just around the table. When we have dinner, breakfast together, we're so hilarious. I mean, just the funniest. I've just been sick that people can't really see the fun. Oh, my God, brilliant humor. You just beg for mercy.
Laughter, I take it, is very, very important for you.
Oh, yes, very, very important. Very crucial.
Now, you originally came from Chicago, if I'm not mistaken.
Wrong? No, I was born and grew up in Des Moines, actually outside of Des Moines in the country.
Okay.
And I went to Northwestern, so that's where I got into the Illinois, the Chicago part.
Okay, now, but you did enter a pageant.
No, I did not enter the pageant. I don't mean to make you wrong here, but...
Okay, correct me, go ahead.
Somebody who worked for an ad agency in Chicago would come out to Northwestern University if he needed somebody to pose for an ad that they were doing.
Right.
So they'd come out there, and I did a few of them with them. And then apparently they were having the Miss WGN contest, and so he put my picture in the contest, and I didn't even know about it until I came home one night very late and found this telegram saying, congratulations, you're one of 20 finalists, one of 12 finalists in 20 contests around the city, and I was Miss WGN, and so I was supposed to be there that next night at 7 p.m. with talent. I said, please bring talent. I had to pack up my talent, and an evening gown and a bathing suit. Well, I just put it away and went to bed. I had no intention of doing anything. That's not what I do or wanted to do.
Uh-huh.
And so the next afternoon, he called and said he'd drive me down there. I said, well, no, I'm not going. It was too ridiculous. Well, he insisted, and a woman I was staying with in Evanston, Illinois, that summer when I was working there, she said, oh, you have to go. She was just like Blondie in Dagwood.
Right.
You know, Blondie. So they both talked me into it, and I went down there laughing all the way, just thinking it was hilarious. Anyway, I won this darn thing. I said I'd play the piano a little bit, and I'd dance a little bit, and sang a little bit, and what else do you want me to do? And they said, well, take your hair down. I hadn't even washed my hair. It was up in a pin, you know, like in the movies where you take off your glasses and let your hair down with one pin.
Right.
But it had curled itself, and it just fell around my shoulders. And they said, well, congratulations, you're Miss WGN. I just laughed so hard I had to be careful. They were getting their feelings hurt, so I got tears. And somebody said, what will you do on Friday night if you win Miss Chicago? What Friday night? What Miss? I didn't know anything about it. So I ran out the next day and took a piano lesson and bought a new bathing suit. Showed up Friday, and they showed us the figure eight we had to walk, and they said it's very sedate, and it's at this hall, very nice. And I wasn't even a state. I mean, there was a Miss, Illinois and a Miss Iowa and a Miss every, you know, all of those. So anyway, I stayed while they all went to dinner, and I walked this figure eight about 100 times just to get used to it, really. So now that the very last part of that, they couldn't decide among three of us. And so they said, will you say something? It was very casual in those days. And so the first girl was tongue-tied, and the next girl lisped, and I got up. I didn't know what to say, but I said, well, I'm not even from here. I'm from Iowa. There was a Miss Iowa. There was a Miss Illinois, and they just put this city, Miss Chicago. I was the only city in the whole thing. Isn't that funny? Well, anyway, here I was. So I said, but my grandmother always said, and I put my finger out crooked, and I said, you get in there and bring home the bacon. And they, congratulations, you're Miss Chicago. Oh, my God. And that meant I was on to Miss America contest. So I called my mother. I said, you better get here because this is getting serious. So she flew in with me, and then we went to Atlantic City together. And then my father came the last day, and I was one of the finalists. I won a $1,000 scholarship. And he gave me $60 to go to New York for 3 days from Atlantic City, and I stayed 8 years.
And had you ever done any pageant before
Never,
that?
Never, no.
None.
My legs are too short.
We are talking with Cloris Leachman here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. We'll take another quick break and come back with Cloris in a bit.
More of Holder Tonight with Peter Anthony Holder on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. To speak to Peter, call 790-0991, Star Talk, or 1-800-491-CJAD.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. We are talking with actress Cloris Leachman, who, if you are checking out the movie theaters these days, you can see her in a movie called Spanglish, a marvelous role that she has in that film. But the role that a lot of people remember you best for, I guess, would be the role you played on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, where you played Phyllis.
Mm-hmm.
How did that role come to you, Phyllis Lindstrom?
Well, you can read Mary's book, her autobiography that she wrote several years ago, many years ago. But I read it and remembered. I hadn't thought about it all those years. And so from what she said, it was all true. I just don't quite remember exactly, but I'll tell you. I went in there, and apparently I said, who's the big cheese here, or who can make decisions, or who's the big deal? And they pointed at this man. I went over apparently and sat on his lap. I remember doing that. That's stupid. Well, it was Jim Brooks.
The same director who did Spanglish.
Yeah.
Right.
And he wrote it. So He's a genius, and I love him so. I really do. He is a genius.
Now, how much of Cloris is in Phyllis, or vice versa?
In Phyllis?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Phyllis is trying awfully hard to be the best at everything, every department, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A whore in the bedroom, a chef in the kitchen, a chauffeur with the kids, and the psychologist, and everything you're supposed to be. To be the complete woman, and was really insufferable, therefore.
That was a very long run on that show. When you first signed up on that show, and it's not the first television series you did, when you first signed up on the show, did you get a sense, get a feeling that, you know, this was a hit?
I think it took a year for it to take off. I think they were in trouble for the first year. I don't think it wasn't a big hit instantly from what I hear. I didn't pay too much attention, but that's what I've been told.
But the writing certainly was there, wasn't it?
Oh, we had a wonderful time, and I never questioned it. I didn't expect that it wouldn't keep going.
We are talking with Cloris Leachman here on CJD. We go to Steve in Laval. Hi, you're on CJD.
Well, Cloris Leachman, I remember you on The Facts of Life when you were Beverly Ann after Mrs. Garrett left.
Yes.
Remember that boy Andy you adopted after a while?
Yes.
And remember one time you figured you're going to have to be the one to teach him to shave, so you put the whipped cream on your face and you were scraping off with a spatula.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And also, I saw the movie A Girl Named Sooner. That goes way back.
Well,
remember
I'm glad
that?
You saw that. I love that. That's one of my very favorites.
Yeah, you were the wife of that veterinarian who attempted to adopt Sooner after she was living with that old woman who I think first said she was a grandmother, then said she just took her in or something.
I played the old woman.
Oh, I thought you were the veterinarian's wife.
No, that was, I'm not going to be able to remember her name. She had wonderful blue eyes. Beautiful.
Oh, so you were the old woman. So
yeah,
you played much
took
older.
2 hours to get all that stuff on my face.
Yeah, because you were very young then. You were obviously playing older than you were.
It was my first year of doing the Mary Tyler Moore Show. And I remember flying to Indiana where we did it, and I played Old Ma'am. And I was thinking, how am I going to do this part? And I thought, I don't want to be a bent-over Phyllis. You know, just everybody knew me from Phyllis as Phyllis. And so I thought, I don't just want to look made up old and bent over. I need to do something different. So I decided to be straight up. And I wanted to look like a picked chicken. And I remember I had long hair. I put it in a ponytail and under an old man's felt hat. And I had a man's sleeve, a collarless shirt and men's work gloves and an old long skirt and work boots. And, well, you know, they did a lot of old age makeup. But we're talking about the accent, how I did accents. Again, I flew there without any accent. I was playing a hill woman. Well, the woman who was cleaning the rooms where we were staying seemed to have a good hill accent. So I said, wait a minute, come here, talk into this little machine. And I got a, what do you call those little recording things?
Cassette machine?
Yeah, a little cassette thing, a little hand thing. And so she talked into it, and then I pulled it through again, pulled it through the lines, those sounds. And I remember, I have to say this very loudly. I was supposed to say, I was making illegal whiskey, and I'd gone to the fair to sell it in this wagon with my mule pulling it. And the FBI man knows me, and he knows what I'm doing there, and he's trying to warn me, I better get out or he's going to have to arrest me. And my mule's name is William. And so here's my accent. And I'm saying I can't get William to move, not by myself. Here's how it sounds. Well, I can't get William to move, not by myself.
We're talking with Cloris Leachman here on CJD. We have another half hour to go with Cloris. We'll continue after the news.
Oh, crazy, wacky Cloris.
Yes. This is Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800.
Now, more of Holder Tonight with Peter Anthony Holder on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. To speak to Peter, call 790-0991, Star Talk, or 1-800-491-CJAD.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. We are talking with actress Cloris Leachman. She is an Academy Award winner and also a multiple Emmy Award winner. And Cloris, just how many Emmys do you have?
Well, I guess I have a record 8.
Wow.
8 Emmys. And I tied when I had 6 Emmys. 5 of them were for different roles. And I was tied with Sir Laurence Olivier for the same amount. But he was kind enough to die so that he wouldn't, you know, be winning all the time. Thoughtful enough. Poor dear man. Now I have 8. Mary Tyler Moore was, it was so funny. She said, you have 8 Emmys? I said, yeah. She said, I thought you had 7. I said, no, I have 8. You have 8 Emmys? Yeah. She said, well, I thought I had the most. I said, I don't know. I have 8. It was a lovely moment for me, I must say. Very exciting.
I'm just getting over that Laurence Olivier
line. I know it. Oh, isn't that funny?
Where do you keep them all?
they always just sort of by default end up somewhere. I have what I call Leachman's Folly. I sold my beautiful, wonderful house. It was kind of a country house, a one-story country house in Mandeville Canyon in the woods, magical woods. And I had made it just perfect, you know, very, a lot of character and beautiful. But the first thing I looked at was a condo. And it turned out to be the most, I bought it instantly. And there's a loft over the dining room. And there's a, I built a counter there. Because you can look out, there are two-story windows in this two-story condo. And so you can look out from the loft outside of these beautiful windows to this wonderful hundreds and hundreds of acres of eucalyptus trees. And so that counter became where somebody put all these Emmys and the Academy Award, and I have a Golden Globe and other things. They're all there. And they look nicer. But it's sort of stupid, but it makes a nice place for them. That's kind of a dumb answer, isn't it?
No, it's not. No, they have to go somewhere, right?
That's exactly right. They have to go somewhere.
And
what's that story about this man who was having an affair with this guy's wife, and they're in the bedroom, and just suddenly he says, "What's that?" She says, "Oh, my God, my husband's coming." He says, "Oh, my God, where's the window?" She said, "There isn't one." He says, "Where would you like one?"
You it seems to be looking over your resume and the career you've had that there's nothing you can't do. Has there been a situation where there was a role you wanted and somebody said no?
Oh, sure. This is a bad, mean story. It's a very mean story, but it is funny. And I shouldn't tell it. But
oh, go ahead.
Care. She wouldn't care.
Okay.
I love to dance more than life itself. I think I was one of the best dancers in high school, you know, and it was so such fun. So now they're doing, years ago, Queen of the Stardust Ballroom on television. It had been on the stage and they were doing it on television. Well, of course I wanted to play that more than anything. So I called the producers and, which I'd never done before, but I said, "I'd love to play this part." They said, "Oh no, Cloris, you're not right for it." I said, "But you could I could be. You haven't seen me. Let me come in and show you. Could I just no, you're not right for it. Oh, please let me come. Come on, you guys, and let me do no, you're not right for it." They said, "We want somebody whose legs rub together." I said, "You already got Maureen?" And they said, "Yes." They had hired Maureen Staples. Isn't that awful? No, but she, you know, they wouldn't even see me about it. Isn't that too bad? I always wanted to do that.
We are
and then I couldn't do Peter Pan because Mary Martin already did that. So
right.
Those are my two heartbreakers.
We are talking with Cloris Leachman here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. We go to Pat. Hi, you're on CJAD.
Hi. I just want to get on a serious note here. I saw Cloris Leachman in a fabulous film called The Last Picture Show. And you haven't talked about that. To me, that was such an amazing role. You played it so well. It was so poignant. It was so touching to me. I always remember it.
Oh.
And every time I think of you, I think of that picture.
Oh. Well, we did our own makeup and our own hair and everything. We're very much responsible for ourselves. We were way down in Texas in some godforsaken little town and just out there all by ourselves making this movie. And we never stopped talking with a Texas accent. I know Ellen Burstyn and I got as far as Wichita Falls. We got to Dallas, I think, and then flew to Wichita. And we started talking with a Texas accent, and we never stopped talking about our marriages and our families, always with a Texas accent.
Right. But it was a very memorable film. Really, really touching, especially for that era. A very serious film.
Yeah, it was a lovely film. I think it's a perfect film.
Absolutely.
Yes,
anyway, I just wanted to say that to you because I've been listening here and working and listening, and I thought, wow, she hasn't mentioned The Last Picture Show, so I just
What are you working at? What are you doing?
Oh, I'm making schedules. I'm a teacher.
Oh, that's hard, isn't it? Do you have a lot of paperwork at night to do?
Sometimes, yeah. I have to do preps and all sorts of things, but it's very interesting. I love teaching. I love my
What do you teach?
I teach in a dental assisting course. I teach anatomy at labs, all sorts of things.
So you're working with grown-ups, so-called?
I'm working with adults, yes.
Mostly women?
Yes, mostly women.
As the men are all the dentists.
Yes, absolutely, you've got that right, but I don't want to go there right now. Anyway, look, good luck to you. You're a wonderful actress.
Thank you.
I hope they find you many roles, and maybe another one like the one you played in The Last Picture Show.
Oh, well, that'd be good.
Yes, it would be. Okay, take care.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Pat. Bye-bye. 7900991 is the number to call. It's very interesting because you did The Last Picture Show. In chronological order, the Last Picture Show came out in 71. But when did you shoot it? In other words, had you started shooting it before you started on Mary Tyler Moore Show?
I did the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and then on the break I did that movie. Oh. I did The Last Picture Show.
Because it's also very unusual. I mean, you got the Academy Award for The Last Picture Show.
Mm-hmm.
And usually people always try to make a separation. Certainly the studios do, or the studio heads do. They try to make a separation between people who do television and people who do film.
Mm-hmm. And well, in those days, absolutely, it was very unusual.
And here comes this woman who just waltzes into a movie, gets an Academy Award, goes back to the television show.
Huh.
It was very unusual. You don't hear very many people doing that.
Well, you know, they thank God they're softening about all that. And on Broadway now, it's almost as if you have to be a television name before you can do Broadway, and it used to be, you know, impossible. There was almost no crossover at all.
Mm-hmm.
There is in England that people are out on the road all the time and on the stage all the time and then come and do films in England. But America is very separated for the most part.
We are talking with Cloris Leachman here on Montreal's News Talk Leader CJD 800. Just a few more minutes to go with Cloris. We'll take a quick break. Just a word for Antico Martini Restaurant, where the food is decadently yummy. Even with my cold, I would kill right now for the rack of lamb. Oh, the rack of lamb is the yummiest thing you'll ever taste. Antico Martini has tender morsels of lamb on feather bones with fresh vegetables of the day. It's another decadently delicious delight that you'll find at Antico Martini Restaurant, a fine Italian restaurant that's been serving Montrealers for over 25 years. Antico Martini Restaurant, for those who really care, 6450 Summerlead near Cavendish in NDG. For reservations, call 489-6804.
Now, more of Holder Tonight with Peter Anthony Holder on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. To speak to Peter, call 790-0991, Star Talk, or 1-800-491-CJAD.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800, and we are talking with actress Cloris Leachman. She's on the line with us from California. 7900991 is the number to call. We go back to the phones. Michael in Côte Saint-Luc, hi, you're on CJD.
Hi, Peter. Thank you very much. And how about our Red Sox? Anyway.
Yes.
A question for Mrs. Leachman. I just wanted to know, with regards to the Mary Tyler Moore Show, obviously, probably fairly soon during the run, you knew that you were in something of quality. You knew that you were in something that had the ratings and also critical acclaim. Did you know during the show, though, that the show was going to have such an eternity, such an afterlife of credibility that it would go down as an all-time great?
No, I didn't. Mm-mm. We certainly felt privileged and extremely privileged and we knew how good it was, though, how wonderful and funny and how extraordinary.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for the call. Bye-bye.
Oh.
What was it like to step away from the ensemble cast of the Mary Tyler Moore Show and step into the forefront in your own spinoff?
Well,
as
that's
Phyllis?
A good question. It's very tricky. You can't take a character out of an ensemble like that and expect that it'll just be like cake, because the person is identified by the other people around the person. That's who tells you what you are, how they react to you, in other words. So it's all, you create each other by the way you react to each other a lot of the times. So it was tricky, and I think being the sort of pain in the neck that Phyllis was created to be, and now playing the lead on my own series as Phyllis, it was tricky to make her likable and lovable as the heroine, and still have the irritating, funny stuff that her personality on the Mary Tyler Moore Show had. Thank God I'm not a writer and didn't have that. I didn't have to trouble my pretty head about it. But one week, I'd have to think, Jesus, how far are we going? How far to lean into something, you know?
What was the process when they decided that they were going to indeed spin you off into your own series? Was it something that you wanted to do? Was it something that the network wanted to do, or the producers wanted to do?
Oh, I don't know. I just show, you know, they tell me when to be somewhere and I show up.
Okay.
I wasn't really part of that.
Another,
I was thrilled, you know, it's a very big compliment.
Another television series that you did, which I was reminded of today by someone else who said, ask her about this show, The Nut House, that you did in 1989.
I love doing that. And Mel Brooks, it was his idea, and he was there a lot, and he wanted me to be Frau Blücher all over again. So what I did was, instead of having great big two front things sticking out, I made a great big high fat ass. And I also, like, what is it about girls are very, very good, and when they're bad, they're horrid, or something like that.
Yeah.
So I made a little spit curl in the middle of my forehead, but I, to show that I wasn't a bad one, I was a good little girl. I'd pin it in every day. Well, the thing that went wrong there was that the man who wrote it and really created it a lot, I don't know what happened to him, but he made everybody so mad, the network and Disney Studios and everything, that they finally just had enough of him. And, you know, you need to shape that kind of stuff. It was fun doing, though, and Harvey's so darling to work with.
Harvey.
Now, are we going to have time to talk about George's book?
You know what? We had George on 2 weeks ago.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Were you able to read it?
I just got it, so I am definitely going to do it.
It's about a two, if you really, you don't want to put it down, and it takes about 2 days.
The book you're referring to is The Way It's Never Been Done Before, My Friendship with Marlon Brando, which is written by George Englund, who is your ex.
Well, I don't like to say that. I like to say he's my once-upon-a-time husband.
Ah, okay.
That has more of a storybook quality than somebody you blot out when you're finished with them.
Obviously, you have a very good relationship between the two of you.
Well, I don't like to have been so wrong as to have an ex. You know, God, where was my head? I adore him. I'm still madly in love with him. I still fall in love with him every time I see him again. I really do. It's just an amazing chemistry and
mm-hmm.
connection forever, you know.
Absolutely.
But I do hope that people will read this. I think a brilliant writer. It's not like a tell-all book. Somebody said it's like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. You know, it's to get inside Marlon's brain, his mind, and how deeply they were connected, and how, oh, these stories are just rich and rare. You'll never read a mind like this, I don't think, anywhere, like Marlon's, and the things they did together, and the, oh, God, it's a piece of history, really.
From the little...
Don't forget it. It's called The Way It's Never Been Done Before, because that's really the way Marlon acted. He wanted, and Georgia produced The Ugly American, starring Marlon Brando, many years ago. So anyway, they became very deep, fast friends forever. And
the thing that from the little I've gleaned of the book so far, the thing that I find most interesting about it is yes, of course, there's the story of Marlon Brando, but everyone should have a friendship like that.
Yes,
that's the, I think, the most important thing.
They were, yes.
Yeah.
We are very bad when he died.
We are talking to Cloris Leachman here on CJD. We're going to take one more quick break. Come back in just a matter of moments on Montreal's News Talk Leaders.
I've had all these breaks. I'm just so excited.
This is Montreal's News Talk Leaders, CJD 800.
You're listening to Holder Tonight with Peter Anthony Holder on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. We just have a few more minutes to go with actress Cloris Leachman, who you can see in the current film Spanglish, which is directed and written by James Brooks. And what's up next for you, Cloris?
Well, I'm going to do another Malcolm in the Middle in a couple of weeks. And it's called, oh no, I did one already. It's going to be out. It's called Ida Loses Her Leg. You know, so there's a hole in the sofa and all kinds of things we had to do. And now we're doing another one that's sort of the rest of it, which is, I haven't read it, but I ran into the writer many months ago, one of the writers, and they said they'd done something musically, and I said, oh, I'd love to sing and dance. He said, well, you would? I said, oh, sure, I loved it. So that's why they decided the one we're coming up with is what I think was the original idea to have some kind of thing that I get together, maybe with women, my friends, who are probably exactly like me, just impossible grandmothers from hell.
Hmm.
And I think I have some kind of a dance. It's probably a folk dancing or something, but in order for that to be more ridiculous, they decided I would have only one leg, so that's why we've already shot that one. I don't know who where they are when they think of these things, but I would think usually they're in their bathrooms thinking about all these ridiculous, funny things from hell that I do. Anyway, another wonderful, wonderful movie that I made. I haven't seen it, but it'll be out. HBO did it. And whoever their producing partner was, they can't decide whether to release it as a feature or on HBO, so we'll hear about that shortly. And that's Mrs. Harris. Mrs. Harris is Annette Bening, and Mrs. Harris who shot and killed...
Oh, yes.
Tarnauer, Dr. Tarnauer, who wrote the Scarsdale Diet many years ago. And Sir Ben Kingsley plays Dr. Tarnauer, and I play his sister, and it's a wonderful part. I love it.
Do you ever have plans to retire? Please say no.
Oh, God, you have to get a lead pipe. No, I don't. Can't imagine such a thing. But I'm not working like a chicken with my head off. It's a leisurely thing. I mean, lots of times I don't work, and I have a wonderful life. Wonderful. I wish it for anybody who would like to have a wonderful life, to be in such a lovely, to be doing wonderful stuff, you know, with wonderful people, creative people. Sometimes I thank God I'm not a butcher, not to put butchers down, but to have to be cutting up dead animals with kind of real cold fingers and joints. Wouldn't that be awful?
Mm.
Or a plumber with my head down some, you know, pipe. I wouldn't be good at that.
When you first started your career, did you ever dream and anticipate that this is how your career would have turned out?
I remember thinking, I don't want to end up an old lady with nobody, you know, nobody to love and nobody to be loved by. Just some old lady with a career, you know. I never wanted to make that my focus. So I never thought about having a career.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I do that I really love and I'm good at. But it's not where my heart is.
Right. Well, it's been an absolute honor and pleasure and a joy to have
a
chance to talk to you.
I hope it was interesting to people. I mean, we talked a lot about my career, but...
Oh, absolutely. And as I said, two of my favorite films, Young Frankenstein and also High Anxiety, I laugh out loud.
High Anxiety.
I laugh out loud just when you walk on the screen.
Before
you even say anything.
It was the drapes. Dr. Ashley felt that color has a great deal to do with the well-being of the emotionally disturbed.
I thank you very much for being on the program with us.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Cloris Leachman here on CJAD.